You're listening to the Buy to Thrive podcast, where we explore how markets meet people to promote health and nutrition.
My name is Jessica Agnew, and I'm the creator of the Buy to Thrive initiative. I'm a PhD candidate in the School of Public and International Affairs at Virginia Tech. Since early 2014, I've been working on something called a market-based approach to addressing nutrition, mostly in sub-Saharan Africa and Southeast Asia. On this inaugural podcast episode, we'll dive into what a market-based approach to nutrition really looks like. A few people I've worked with in this field join me today to help explain just what it is that we're trying to do and how this approach compares with others out there. To set the scene first, it's important to understand what type of nutrition we're trying to target through the market. Typically, when we think of low and middle income countries, we think of people not getting enough food to eat. And while there are almost 800 million people worldwide who are not getting enough calories, there are almost 2 billion people who are not getting enough of the nutrients needed for good health. It could even be you listening now. Have you had a variety of different vegetables this week? This is what we're trying to get at through the market. Changing the types of food people eat is one of the ways we know improves nutritional status. But first, Dr. Christine Hotz, who holds a PhD in nutrition and has primarily worked on nutrition projects in low-income countries, explains what exactly a food-based approach to nutrition entails.
Food-based approaches that don't involve adding any sort of extraneous sources of nutrients would be things like promoting dietary diversification, which we know now through large validation studies with dietary intake data that if you increase the diversity of the diet, referring primarily to the number of different food groups that a person consumes in a given day, that equates to a higher amount of intake of a range of nutrients and greater adequacy of those nutrients in the diet. And that could be accomplished through different modes, sometimes through agriculture, like home gardening, crop diversification, or education, letting people know that diversity is important and that all the different colors of the food, you know, often mean that there are different sets of nutrients.
Diet diversity is an effective way to get people eating the right types of foods, but it's also an empowering approach because people still have control over the foods they eat. And this gets at a very important point, that people eat food and not just nutrients. The market comes into play by making these foods more readily available, affordable, and acceptable. And by acceptable, I mean, for example, people may not prefer to eat orange flesh sweet potato, but do enjoy bread made with sweet potato flour. So processors and retailers can then be part of the process of transforming nutritious foods into products that people do want to eat. Dr. Hotz highlights other ways that markets can influence diet diversity.
Market-based approaches, it can either be through education and informing people about what they can buy, so they're still responsible for acquiring from the market, and also trying to change what's available in the market. And that's even an approach that people are trying to use in Western populations to increase our access to fresh fruits and vegetables and perhaps encourage people who work in the food sector to produce more nutritious foods, fresh foods, and make them available.
This idea of market education for both consumers and small retailers on the importance of purchasing and selling nutritious foods was actually the underlying idea behind Buy to Thrive. I originally started this initiative for a course in community nutrition that I took in 2017. And the idea came after working with several businesses attempting to sell a variety of nutritious foods. I saw a need for nutrition education to get consumers to start thinking about the well-being of their families when choosing foods in the market. The theory is that as demand for nutritious foods increases, retailers will be more interested in selling a variety of these types of foods. But this also involves educating the retailers as well. This is a really important point of the market-based approach, connecting consumers and retailers in a meaningful way to promote health and nutrition. This summer, I worked with the Universidad Lurio in Nampula, Mozambique, to implement the very first Buy to Thrive project. I worked closely with my now friend, Sofia Costa, the director of the nutrition course. She explains here why education is so important for low-income consumers and retailers to improve diet diversity through food markets in Mozambique.
We had done a small study about what people think it's important when they buy food. And we actually, back then, we understood that people don't give value to what's actually important. I think it's really important to work not only who buys and who eats the food, but also with who sells it. in order to have people to buy it, we need to have people who sell it. So we need to work together with both of them. And I think it's really the future.
Sophia and I also worked with another faculty member at UNILURIO, Cecilia Boaventura, to implement a community intervention on diet diversity and food purchasing. We trained 30 nutrition students from UNILURIO to educate families on diet diversity using an educational tool that can be found on the Buy to Thrive website. We also worked with families to improve the nutritional value of their weekly food purchases. So really, the purpose of this work was to discover if a market-based approach to nutrition really does work for low-income households. We've been theorizing about it for a while now, and there is some positive evidence to suggest that yes, it can, but this intervention was designed to be more direct in uncovering the challenges and opportunities of using markets to increase nutrition. We had many positive comments, and households were definitely willing to make changes throughout the four-week program. However, as Dr. Francisco Noah, rector at Universidad Lurio, points out, food is a matter of culture, and this can make it difficult to change diets.
It's a problem of traditional practice, and how to change some traditional practice and make people understand that they have to need to change their dietary in order to improve the food they are eating. I think it's one of the big challenges we are having here in the north of the country, especially trying to change or to adapt the mindset of the people to the idea of the modernity.
So one of the advantages of the market-based and diet diversity approach is that it allows people to eat cultural foods, but tries to find ways to add a variety of other types of nutritious foods to their diet. However, in order for market-based approaches to see any significant type of reductions in nutrient deficiencies, they will need to be scaled up to reach a large number of people. This requires finding ways to incentivize businesses to sell nutritious foods. Dr. Jane Battersby, senior researcher at the African Center for Cities, describes an example where the state could be involved to help create such incentives in the South African context.
Generally, businesses don't have food security or nutrition outcomes as their interest, right? Their job is either to keep their businesses going or to deliver to their shareholders. A lot of our work has been working with the small-scale retailers and thinking about ways to incentivize those who are selling healthier foods and therefore thinking about what is the role of the state in doing that. We know that there are concentrations of retailers, formal and informal, around hubs of transport. And we know that those are locating there because there's a lot of foot traffic. We also know that people are shopping there because you have these incredibly long commuting times. You have people who not only are commuting long hours, but don't have good storage, don't have cost to pay energy to cook the kind of slow-cooked foods, and so are dependent on convenience foods sold near the train stations and taxi ranks. Oftentimes that stuff is quite highly processed, oftentimes it's deep fried, and those retailers are selling that partly because that's what the market is demanding, but partly because they don't have themselves the kinds of infrastructure that's going to enable them to do something different. They don't have storage, they don't have refrigeration, they don't have safe energy. One of the things we're thinking about was what is the role of the state then in providing market infrastructure that incentivizes the sale of healthier foods.
This example demonstrates the need for market-based approaches to build bridges between the gaps that cause low consumption and limited availability of nutritious foods. While it may take some external influence, I and many others believe there is a way to help food markets develop to allow even low-income households to purchase foods that will improve the health of families. The Buy to Thrive initiative seeks to bring together communities, food retailers, and policymakers to accomplish this goal. We had a great first experience in Mozambique. On the last week, we asked households what they liked most and what they will recommend to other families they know. This is one of my favorite quotes. "I would recommend what I learned, all I learned, even the things I can't do, but I should teach others all that I learned." Some people say that they don't have enough money to eat food from all the groups, but you don't need to have a lot of money to do that. Instead of beef, you can buy whatever your money is enough for. If you can't buy pepper, you can buy tomato or cabbage. That costs 5 medikaish. What matters is that you get your vitamins. Some people think that to eat fish they need a lot of money. They don't. You can buy a fish for 25 medikash and cook it with oil or coconut. I will teach everybody, family and neighbors. We are so excited to continue this work, and we hope that you will continue to follow along with us. I'm Jessica Agnew, and thank you for listening to the first episode of the Buy to Thrive podcast.
We'd like to thank our guests, Dr. Christine Hotz, Sophia Costa, Dr. Francisco Noah, and Dr. Jane Battersby. Our music came from taketones.com. Your host has been Jessica Agnew. Thanks to you for listening.